Father, as always, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light to shine upon us this morning into our hearts and our lives, giving us understanding of what the Spirit is saying in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, yesterday we talked about the story of Naomi, see, and how she was so disappointed, all the things that happened to her, you know, and, you find that story in the book of Ruth. It's not a very long book, but it captures a lot of things in just some very, very quick, small chapters. It captures a lot of things. You know, she went out of Bethlehem with her husband and two sons. When there was a famine in the land, so they went to the country of the Moabites, country of Moabs, where they went. Our husband's name was Elimelech and her name was Naomi. Her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they went out, they dwelt in the land of Moab, and it came to pass while they were there, dwelt there for about 10 years. But it came to pass while they were there, the man died, and the woman was left alone with her two sons. And after a while, the two sons died. But before they died, they had taken them wives of the Moabites. I'm not sure that Naomi was quite happy with that as well, but, there was a lot of things going on, and she lost all of her the men in her life, and finally, she said, everybody, these were the pillars, in her life, and so all, gone. And so she said, I'm going to return to my country, and so she wanted to return. She heard about the, the famine was passed, and the Lord had returned and giving bread to the people, of her country in Bethlehem and so on. So she's going to go back. But all she has left now are her two daughters-in-law. And she said, she appealed to them, return to your mother's house and let the Lord deal kindly with you. She decreed for them. As for me, I got to go back to, the house of my husband. You go back to the house of your mothers and so on. Well, one of them went, the one that's called Orpah went back, but this one called Ruth refused. She said unto her, don't entreat me to leave you. Don't try to force me to return from you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. God will be my God. Even where you die, I will die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. The Lord do so to me and even more. If anything but death part me from thee. She's stuck right there, with Naomi. So when Naomi saw that this woman would not give up, they went together and they came back, to Bethlehem. And when the people saw her, they recognized her and everybody started welcoming her and rejoicing. There was a big clamor and everything. City was moved. But told, is this not Naomi? Wow. Welcome back. Everybody shouting, Naomi is back. Naomi is back. But she came back in the bitterness of her spirit. And she said, why do you call me Naomi? Don't call me Naomi. Because Naomi means pleasant and pleasantness. He said, look, I went out full. I had my husband. And you know how women feel secure when they have their husband. Said, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. Well, she, her husband was right there. She wanted nothing. Make me to lie down in green pastures. All the things that the husband was able to do for her. Set a table before her and so on. And all that. While the husband was around, she feared nothing. And even her boys. And now she's gone. They're gone and she's left with nothing. I mean, no one. And she said, why call me Naomi for? You're seeing that the Lord has testified against me. The Lord has afflicted me. You know, the Lord has made me to come back empty. I went out full and I came empty. The Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. So from now on, you call me Mara, which is bitterness. My goodness. And so that was our story yesterday. It's like, look, disappointments of life can sometimes make people feel like this, that they don't even want, don't, you know, I mean, she had a good name. She had a goodly heritage. And, but she was so disappointed that she said, away with that. You know, I want to be called bitterness because of how the Lord has dealt with me. But the end of the story, which I said I'll tell today, I will now tell that the end of that story today. That's not how it ended, actually. You know, things actually turned around. Praise the Lord. And the Lord has a plan for everything. Everything. And this Naomi that didn't know, you know, from, I mean, didn't think that there was anything. She had no more, did not have a man anymore in her life. She would eventually be instrumental. That's right. In the lineage of the Christ. She didn't know it at the time, but this Ruth that came with her will eventually, you know, get hooked up with Boaz, who eventually would marry her like a kingsman redeemer. The story is so powerful of the kingsman redeemer. It comes out in this book of Ruth. And when the man eventually, the one that was nearest in, you know, to Elimelech, could not redeem everything because he said, look, if you redeem this one, you got to redeem all her things. I mean, all his things, you got to redeem everything and so on and so forth. You got to do what's right. Said, well, I can't do it. So fell back on Boaz. And Boaz said, look, we've seen the kindness that you've shown to your mistress, how you stuck with her, even though your husband is dead, her son, but yet you stayed with her. You came with her to a place where you knew not, to a people that you knew not. Therefore, the Lord be with you. And he was kind to her and so on. Anyway, cut a long story short, took her to be his wife after he redeemed her. And the next thing you know, they had a son called Obed. And would you know it? You know, even the women of the land, see, the women of the land, they all claimed that son for Naomi. You know, they said to her, look, this son that Ruth had born for you in the house of Obed will be yours. You know, and they said, look, the Lord has given you a son, you know, finally. So, you know, this woman, Ruth, became the mother of Obed, and the same Obed became the father and lineage of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. So can you imagine it? Can you believe that? See that turnaround? You know, and this is what they said, the women, when they saw that Ruth had born a child. They said to Naomi, not exactly to Ruth, but they said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. You know, because, you know, in their culture, they got to have a man, you know, and so forth, in their lineage, you know. So, and they declared this, his name, you know, will be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto you a restorer of thy life. See how the Lord turned everything around for Naomi. He will be a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him unto you. So actually all the women claimed, you know, Obed for Naomi. And Naomi took the child. Listen to this. Naomi took the child from Ruth to her own bosom and became nurse unto the child. This was somebody that said, well, the Lord has forsaken me. And now everybody, all the women gave, you know, they created a saying in the land. And the saying was, there is a son born to Naomi. They're not even talking about Ruth anymore. There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. And this same Obed turned out to be the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. And you know what David became? My goodness. So you see how God turned things around from the bitterness of her soul, from all the disappointments, you know. And ladies and gentlemen, don't you ever do that. Don't change your name. I said this yesterday in the room. Don't change your name in the negative direction. Names mean a lot. The culture of the Jews, name was everything. In the culture where I grew up from, naming is everything too. Our culture is exactly like that. You know, you're very careful what names, people give names either based on circumstances or based on, you know, some belief that this child will turn out to be something. You name them like that, or you name them around the circumstances of their birth. But names have meaning in our culture, which is just like the culture of the Jews. You don't just name a child with some random name that means nothing, you know. So the name was so powerful, you know, that she had at first, you know. And even God changed many people's names, other people changed their names saying, God told me to do so, from something that was not, you know, going anywhere to something that was great, you know. But this woman, she changed her name backwards. She had a name that was great already. So her name initially was Pleasantness. But because of all the trouble she had, she said, well, I can no longer, and I no longer wish to be called Pleasant. I want you to call me Mara, which is bitterness. Isn't that very sad? You know, whereas the Lord said, the way that the Lord wants you to change your name is in the other direction. You know, the other direction, not in the negative direction. As it is written in the book of Isaiah chapter 62, you know, when people felt Israel as a nation, but even, you know, individually as well, you know, Israel as a nation oftentimes were felt abandoned and so forth. Well, of course, because of the hardness of their hearts, the Lord dealt harshly with them at times. You know, but, you know, the Lord gave this, you know, very profound prophetic declaration that we can take today in Isaiah 62 and we can take it. And he says, your name shall no longer be forsaken. And you will no longer be called desolate, but instead of forsaking, you'll be called Hephzibah. You know, because the Lord's are delighted in you. And instead of, you know, being desolate, you'll be called Beulah. Just Lord, you know, you'll be married, you'll be chosen, you'll be set up in your own place and so on. You know, so that's the turning around part. God will turn things around in your favor if you don't give up and don't give in and don't sink to the level that the devil wants to put you at. People get depressed, they lose hope, they hang their head down because of circumstances of life that may happen and does happen to every one of us sometimes, you know. But the Lord has a plan. He's cooking something. Wait for it. Habakkuk says, how, you know, how long should I wait? That's a good question. You know, long hope sometimes wearies the heart. You know, people wait and wait and wait. You know, well, he said, well, the thing is for an appointed time. Habakkuk 2:3. But at the end, it shall speak and it will not lie. The vision will not lie. The word of the Lord will never lie. For my word that goeth out of my mouth in Isaiah 55 shall not return unto me void, but it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it and accomplish that which is my pleasure. It will do it. The word of God sustain itself. You know, once it is spoken, that's it. It's sent. It's done. You know, you can't alter. Say, I will not alter the thing that's gone out of my mouth. The Lord has spoken it. It will come to pass. Now, whether it will come to pass today or tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, we don't know, but it will come to pass. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's the roundup and the short encouragement, you know, I want to give to everyone today. And the Lord, you know, also recognizes that sometimes when we wait and wait and wait, you know, we get weary, you know, so he's giving us another word also to let us know that we don't have to wait forever. That's why I said, though it tarry, wait for it, to not tarry long, you know, and again, he says, look, all that the Lord has promised, you know, sometimes people say, well, the promise is for a long time. We don't see anything and so forth. And the Lord said, well, my words shall no longer be prolonged. Let me give you a couple of scriptures and then I'll round it up. Then we can do our shares. First of all, in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12, long hope wearies the heart, makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's like a tree of life. So when people are, you know, Lord promise something, you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. I mean, come on. You know, the Lord said we'll be a father of nations. We don't see a child. Look at me. I'm old already. You know, I can't do this. I mean, how long are we going to wait? You know, going to my maid. Maybe I will get a child by her. And you know, it was a culture in those days, you know, the woman can claim, you know, that, you know, and say, well, you know, persuaded, put pressure on her husband and everything. Well, should have waited. Wait for that promise. Matter how long it takes, stay right there. But here's the word I want to give to us today to round this up. You know, according to, you know, Ezekiel knew this two thing too, because people used to say, well, you know, all these wonderful things that the Lord promised us, we don't know when it's coming. It looks like it's afar off. You know, the effect of every vision, you know, delays and nothing is happening. And our head continues to be buried. And we don't have any good things going for us. So the Lord said to them in the book of Ezekiel chapter 12, tell them, therefore saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease. What was the proverb? Well, their proverb that they had was, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. That's what they said. You know, well, you know, how long are we waiting? Even people said the coming of the Lord. I mean, we've been hearing coming of the Lord, coming of the Lord, coming of the Lord. And they said, well, you know, to your tents, O Israel. And everybody gave up. Well, he said, the effect of every vision is prolonged. You know, what is happening? We're not. God has said this thing, but it's not coming to pass. And how do we know even it was God that spoke it? Maybe those people spoke it presumptuously out of their minds. You know, afterwards, people start to doubt the word of the Lord. See, when they don't see it, they start to say, well, maybe it wasn't the Lord that actually said it. You know, and so on. Well, okay. Unless the Lord gave you a point blank timing, you stay right there with the word. It will come to pass. And the Lord said to them in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 21, this proverb of the days are prolonged, if every vision is failing, say, tell it to them, I will make this proverb to cease. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But I want you to say to them instead, things are turning around. Hallelujah. The day is at hand, saith the Lord. And the effect of every vision is right around the corner. For there shall no more be any more vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel to say, you know, these things are not coming, that the Lord said. You know, the Lord said to us, you know, last year, the Lord said to us, you will emerge. And this year, he said, you will experience, some will experience the quantum leap. And so between the emerging, the prophecy, the declaration to emerge, the declaration to experience the quantum leap, you know, on the contrary, things are going backwards for you. Say, well, I don't know this thing. And the Lord said, well, I want to remind you that the Lord said the same thing one time, and it looked like he has lost his marbles. You know, people said, his disciples might have thought. He said, well, this sickness is not unto death. Well, but the man died. And then later, the same mouth that told them he's not unto death told them, well, Lazarus is dead. And he said, wow, I thought you said this sickness is not unto death. They're thinking in their mind. Nobody has the boldness to challenge him, but it's in their minds. They're thinking, wow. And they're saying among themselves, well, I don't know. I mean, he said, I mean, we've never seen anything like this. I mean, everything he said before always come to pass. But look at this now. He told us the man was not going to die, you know, but now the man is dead. Well, that's not what Jesus said, though. Jesus said, you know, this sickness is not unto death. And now the man died. So Jesus said, well, the man is dead. I said, ah. You know, so they're thinking in their minds, well, what is this now? But I guarantee you, because Jesus had said the sickness was not unto death, and yet the man died, it means there will be a reversal of that situation so that it will come back as though the sickness was not unto death. So that's simple. And Jesus said, well, actually, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe that the Son of Man has power even over the dead to call him out of the grave. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He waited a few more days, and by the time they traveled and got there, 4 days had passed. The man, they had finished crying, mourning and everything, and buried him, and now he's in the grave 4 days. And then Jesus finally shows up. And his sister said, well, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know, we called unto you, you didn't answer. Now you show up after the man's already dead and 4 days stinking in the grave. I mean, what is it now? And she said, well, anyway, nevertheless, I know that God can answer you anything you ask. Jesus said, don't worry about it. Your brother will rise again. Because she didn't understand it. But when the hour came, Jesus stood right there. He didn't do it in a corner. Did it right in the presence of everybody. Called him out of there. Lazarus, come out of that grave. Glory to God. And everybody, you could have heard a pin drop at that time. You know, everybody was like, my goodness, what is this? You know? And next thing you know, Lazarus comes out of that grave. Jesus has power over life, over death, everything. In fact, one time he said, look, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have gotten me the keys of hell and death. He went down there, he whooped the devil from pillar to post. He took the keys of hell and death from him. And now he declares to the people, he said, you know, the days are at hand and the effect of every vision. Contrary to what you thought, the days are prolonged and every vision is failing. No, the days are now at hand, saith the Lord. And the effect of every vision is right around the corner. And there shall no more be any more of these things. For I am the Lord. I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. And make no tarrying. Oh my God. The psalmist prays. Lord, I pray that this word that you have spoken will begin to come to pass in the life of your children. That there shall be no more delay. The Lord said it shall no longer be prolonged. Now, for in your days, O rebellious house. Now, we don't want to be called rebellious house, do you? No. You know, the Lord was always disappointed with the disciples. I mean, they never had real faith. You would say, why is it that you are so doubtful? How come it is you have no faith? And they say, well, why couldn't we do this? Because of your unbelief. I mean, all the time that he was with them, these disciples, they were struggling. They didn't have the kind of faith that Jesus really looked for. But occasionally, Jesus found some people that had some tremendous faith. You know, like the Syrophoenician woman, Jesus said, I can't give you the children's bread. I mean, can't take that and cast to dogs. The woman said, yeah, that's okay. But even when the children eat, the crumbs will fall to the ground. That's sufficient for the dogs. This woman would not be denied. She's not going away. Jesus tried to send her away, you know, by saying those things. Well, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not yet time. But she said, time or not time. She crossed. She pierced the veil of time through her determined faith. And at the end, Jesus said, my lambs, my. Great is thy faith, O woman. Be it unto you according you say. You know, now that was a Greek woman. It wasn't one of his disciples. Again, another man that's a tremendous faith said to the Lord, you don't even need to come into my house. You know, I know how these things work. You know, I'm a man of authority. I'm a centurion. I have 100 soldiers under me. I say to one, go do this, and he does it. It's a chain of command. And I say to the other, come and do this, and so forth, and they do it. I know also, I understand these things, how it works. You speak the word only. That's all I need. And it's good enough for me. And Jesus said, my. I have not seen so great faith. No, not among my disciples, not among Israel, not anywhere. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's show God some faith. The Lord loves it when people have faith. And here's what the Lord does. He said, look, I will make these words to cease wherein you have said the vision is delayed. He said, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. Because the people are saying, well, the vision of emerging is for a long time. The vision of quantum leap is for a long time. It's not coming to pass. The Lord said, well, say to them again, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. In your days have I spoken it, and in your days will it be done, saith the Lord. That's right. And that's what the Lord is now doing. He's bringing something to pass. Ah, what a blessing. Now, will you believe the Lord? And can you believe that God is causing things to change? And God is the one that spoke it. He's the one also that will bring it to pass. And so what God is now doing is saying, well, he's looking, waiting for you, you know, to show him some faith. And when you do, you know, actually he's already given his angels charge. He said to those angels, you know, the moment you hear them declare my word, you go into action. You hearken to the voice of my word from their mouth, and you do it, according to Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless ye the Lord, ye angels, his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. The Lord gave the charge to them already, and they are waiting. And the moment you start to declare, and the devil comes up to the Lord and say, they'll never do it. Look, she's not going to believe your word. And so you have no permission to release anything. She's not believing your word. Look at her. You know, I mean, look at what she's doing. Look at what she's saying. Look at what he's doing. Look at what, that's the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. But the Lord said, you wait and see. She'll come around. And sometimes the Lord will tell one of those angels, you go down and put a little squeeze on her, you know, to the point that she will now begin to declare my word. And then the moment she declares it, Lord will say, ah, see how my daughter is declaring my words? Can you see how my son? And they're out there. They can see everything. But the Lord shows it to them, gives them that the eyesight that they can see. I said, you see how she's declaring my word? Now you go down there and see to it. Glory to God. And the angels, the moment you declare his word, they'll see to it that it comes to pass. Father, I pray for everyone that's in the room today. Give us the grace to be steadfast, unmovable. That's right. Paul said, look, none of these things move me. Well, let none of these things move you as well in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, tribulation will come. These things will come. Afflictions and so forth. He said, look, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, look, I want to speak these words to comfort you concerning your faith so that you will not be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that these afflictions must come. You'll suffer losses, disappointments, failures, setbacks, and so on. These things will come. So don't be moved by these things. Hallelujah. But the Lord, he will strengthen you. After you've suffered a while, he will strengthen you, establish you, he will set to you in the name of Jesus. Now, the God of all grace and the God of all peace himself grant you peace by all means. By all means, whatever it's going to take, the Lord will grant you that peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Lord of all peace himself give you peace always by all means, all necessary means. If he has to move things here and there in your favor, he'll do it too. And you get the answer of peace in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.